News, I'm Steve Miller. The White House is again caught in a war of words after a presidential statement about Russia. The AP's Sagar Meghani explains.
It started in Helsinki Monday when the president resisted intelligence findings that Russia interfered in the 2016 election.
I don't see any reason why it would be.
He walked it back Tuesday.
I said the word would instead of wouldn't.
Then came yesterday.
Is Russia still targeting the U.S., Mr. President?
The president said no twice, apparently contradicting America's top intelligence official. But again, the White House said that's not what the president meant.
He was saying no, he's not taking questions.
But then he did.
There's never been a president as tough on Russia as I have been.
Sagar Meghani at the White House.
A British news outlet says police have identified the suspects behind the attack on a former Russian spy and his daughter with a deadly nerve agent. VOA's Pernell Murdoch reports.
The press association says it has learned from a source that investigators are sure they are Russian after identifying them through closed-circuit television video and cross-checking it with records of people who entered the country during that time. The press association says several Russians were involved in the poisoning of Sergei Skripal and his daughter Yulia in Salisbury back in March. Russia has denied any involvement in the attack. Pernell Murdoch, VOA News.
Syrian rebels have reportedly agreed to surrender a southwestern area located near the Israeli annexed Golan Heights. The deal calls for Syrian government forces to return to positions it held in Al-Qunitra, prior to the outbreak of the 2011 uprising. Any rebels who reject the terms of the settlement will be allowed to travel to opposition-held territory. This is VOA News. South Korea's foreign minister, Kang Kyung-hwa, said that there is a political will in North Korea to reach a deal on the nation's complete denuclearization. VOA's Jeff Custer.
Speaking at an event hosted at Chatham House in London, Kang acknowledged that the pace of improvements in inter-Korean relations is contingent upon progress on the denuclearization track of North Korea.
There is the political will that was not there in any previous negotiations at the topest, from the top level, to move in that direction.
She added that South Korea is not seeking unification with its northern neighbor, but
peaceful coexistence.
On North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, she said it would be hugely risky for him to backtrack after committing to complete denuclearization before the international community. Jeff Custer, VOA News.
Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull in Australia says that Pope Francis must fire an Australian archbishop convicted of concealing child sex abuse. Reuters' Ed Giles has that story.
He should have resigned, and the time has come for the Pope to sack him.
It's an appeal to a higher power to fire the most senior Catholic leader in the world convicted of concealing child sex abuse. Australian Archbishop Philip Wilson is refusing to resign from his post, and so on Thursday, Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull turned to the Pope. 67-year-old Wilson was sentenced to a year's detention earlier this month. He's stepped aside as Archbishop of Adelaide, but hasn't resigned, insisting he'd only do so if he's unsuccessful in an appeal. Wilson's lawyers have maintained that he's innocent.
That was Reuters' Ed Giles. More than 140 survivors of sexual abuse at the hands of a former team doctor for USA Gymnastics and Michigan State University joined hands on stage to be honored with the Arthur Ashe Award for Courage at the ESPYs. Appearing on ESPN, Olympic gold medalist Ali Reisman says sexual abuse victims should not be silenced.
Too often, abusers and enablers perpetuate suffering by making survivors feel that their truth doesn't matter. To all the survivors out there, don't let anyone rewrite your story. Your truth does matter, you matter, and you are not alone.
The women who spoke out against the abuse by Larry Nassar stood together in a powerful and solemn closing to the show that honors the past year's top athletes and moments in sports. The youth soccer teammates rescued from a flooded cave in Thailand began their first day back home with their families Thursday by going to a Buddhist temple to pray for the protection of misfortunates. 11 of the boys and the Wild Boars coach kneeled and pressed their hands together in prayer to the tune of chanting monks. From Washington, I'm Steve Miller, VOA News.